Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now and look at your word and consider the death of our Savior on the cross and the significance of that to us personally, to us as a church, to us as your people. And Father, just pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts to teach us what you would have us to know tonight. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, what's the first question that comes to mind when you hear of someone's death? Probably, how did they die? I find that as the years go by, one of the first things I look at in the Olean Times Herald is the obituary page. I look to see if there's anyone that I knew or knew about, or if there is someone related to someone I know. Then, if I find one of those, I look to see if there's any explanation of how they died or how long they were sick before they died. We don't usually ask, why did they die? Except as a rhetorical question to express our distress at not understanding how the world works, or as believers to express our lack of understanding of how God is working. I asked the why question when my father died. I was 17 years old, a junior in high school, less than 6 months after being diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor. God took him home to be with him. I knew how he died. He died from a cancerous tumor. I asked God many times why he died at the age of 48. He had served God as a missionary in Laos for 20 years. He was a gentle man with a godly demeanor. He was humble, more often the one behind the scenes than in the forefront. He was faithful to God and to his family. Why did he have to die at a young age? But what about Jesus? We know how he died. He was crucified on a cross. He was executed by the Romans after being pressured by the Jewish religious leaders. Moreover, the Bible tells us that this was God's plan. In Acts 2:23, Peter is preaching his sermon to the crowd, and he says, "This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." Also, Jesus willingly laid his own life down. In John 10:17 and 18, Jesus says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay my life down, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." But more importantly, why did he die? We know the cause of his death, but what is the meaning? What is the purpose of his death? Last weekend, I attended a missions conference for college students. This was in St. Louis, Missouri, and there were 10,000 in attendance. Probably about 8,000 of them were college students. A highlight for me was the morning Bible study. I mentioned this Wednesday night. Each morning, I was in a room with 250 college students for a 1.5-hour Bible study. We studied passages from the book of Revelation. That kind of caught me by surprise. Why, for a missions conference, do you turn to the book of Revelation? But it made a lot of sense afterwards. But here's how the Bible study worked. We were given what they call a manuscript. So The manuscript is a printed form of the passage we were studying. And so we were given this so that you were encouraged to mark it up as we went through the study. We would study the passage in groups of three or four together, write down observations, come up with questions about the passage, make connections. Then we would share our findings with the large group. So it was kind of the mechanics. But here's what really struck me from one of the studies that we did from Revelation chapter 5. In chapter 1, which we read at the beginning of the service, John sees Jesus in all his glory and describes his appearance for us. Later in chapter 5, John sees a scroll that is sealed. John begins to cry because no one is found worthy to open the scroll by releasing the seals. And then here's what happens next. John is upset and crying. He hears someone say, "Do not cry. Look, here is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is able to open the scroll." I picture John with his head down, and he hears, "There's this Lion of the tribe of Judah." And I picture John turning around and opening his eyes. And what does he see? He's expecting to see a majestic, scary, powerful lion. And what does he see? He sees a lamb looking as if it had been killed. Think about what that might have looked like to John. So a lamb, probably covered in blood, probably with its throat slit. Not the lion that he had been told was there. But this is Jesus. John sees Jesus as the lamb that was slain, a lamb that had been sacrificed. This picture, this image, shows the significance of Jesus' death. Later in that same chapter, the thousands upon thousands of angels sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And all the creatures sang, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Jesus is the Lamb of God who was slain, killed, sacrificed, crucified. But why? The New Testament is full of reasons why Jesus died. In fact, you can look at the whole New Testament as being providing a context for and a commentary on the death of Jesus. So, this is the central event of Scripture and the central event of human history. John Piper has written this book, 50 Reasons Why Jesus Came to Die. Now, I don't think there are exactly 50 reasons given to us in Scripture. Things aren't quite organized that clearly or neatly for us. In the introduction, Piper says, "I will try to describe 50 of them, but there will always be more to be said." So let me ask you, how would you answer the question, why did Jesus die? My guess is we would get quite a variety of answers here, even here among us. What did God accomplish for us individually and corporately by putting his son to death on the cross? So what I have here, I'm going to take two of John Piper's reasons and share them with you. So here is reason number 22. Jesus died to bring us to God. The gospel is good news. What is good in the good news? Salvation saves us from hell. That is true. But more than that, it saves us for God. Forgiveness relieves our guilt, that is true. But more than that, it gives us access to God. Justification makes us legally acceptable to God, that is true. But more than that, it brings us into fellowship with God. Redemption liberates us from the enslavement to sin. That is true. But more than that, it brings us into the presence of God. Adoption puts us into God's family. That is true. But more than that, it puts us into the arms of our Father. Can we truly embrace the good news without embracing God? What is the greatest thing Christ died for? Probably some debate on that. In 1 Peter 3:18, Peter says, Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. In Ephesians 2:13, Paul says, But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We were made to experience fellowship with God, to belong to God. Think of Adam and Eve in the garden before their disobedience. That is the fellowship with God we were created for. The source of greatest joy possible is to be in the presence of God. In Psalm 16:11, the psalmist says, You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We were created to experience joy and pleasure in the presence of God. Jesus brings us into the presence of God. Jesus' death brings us to God. Reason number 45, I kind of skipped, okay, a few along the way. Jesus died to ransom people from every tribe and language and people and nation. Again, let's return to Revelation chapter 5. John is shown a vision of heaven. He sees God on the throne. Revelation 5:1 says, I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll sealed with seven seals. The opening of this sealed scroll represents the revealing the future of world history. And John is upset that no one can open the scroll. In John 5:5, again, I referred to this earlier, John hears, Weep no more. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has conquered so that he can open the scroll. John turns to see a lamb. I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. This is Jesus, the Messiah. He is conquered by his death and resurrection. The heavenly beings around the throne fall down and worship the Lamb, that is Jesus. They sing a new song. They sang a new song saying, Worthy are you, that is Jesus, to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. The disease of sin has infected every person. It is a global condition. All have sinned. In the same way, the remedy is global. Jesus died to save all people without respect for where they live, what tribe they belong to, what language they speak, what nation they live in. In John 12:32, Jesus said, I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Even in the Old Testament, we learn of his global impact. In Psalm 22:27, the psalmist says, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you." Jesus Christ is not a tribal deity. He does not belong to one culture or to one ethnic group. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus died to ransom, and that means to buy out of the slave market of sin people from every people group on earth. No one is to be left out. So as we prepare for our communion service, let's pause and reflect on Jesus' death and what it means to us. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we now come before your table and participate in this, Father, just pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would open up our eyes to see what Jesus has accomplished for us and the new life that we have because of his death on the cross. And Father, just pray that you would continue to speak to us about the realities of the spiritual realm that you have opened up to us. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.